Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jeff Hathorn with you here on the Fan Evening Show until 10:35. And we go to the fan hotline, joined by Dan Kangurski. And Dan, actually, it just says, Joel wrote it up on the screen, it just says Kangurski. I think that's what you ought to go with. Like, drop the Dan and just say, what's up, Kangurski.
There are too many Dans around here anyway.
Yes.
We're doing it.
Yes. Just go. He could go Muse, and I'd say, I'm Kangurski.
Real Clint Eastwood to it, right?
Yes.
Kangurski.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of fear, a little bit of, like, what's up with this guy? You know, just make them think a little bit. Is it true, by the way?
I think they do already.
The reason they're starting at 7:30 tonight is because they're only going to play two periods?
No, that was the Penguins' request. It was denied. Yeah, of course, at that point, they might blow it in 38 minutes, right?
Ugh. Sidney Crosby, we've both been around him a lot, and he normally tries to look at, hey, there's bad bounces or silver linings. Even he kind of admitted that it might be on their heads a little bit. What is the commonality, as you see it, as what has happened with all of these blown third period leads?
Well, you know, it started small. I saw what I thought might be a structural flaw a couple of weeks ago when this was happening to them. But then it sort of mushroomed, where a little structural flaw, you know, a little bit of a, I don't know, let's call it deviation from the structure, bad execution compounded it, and then it just became a full-blown disaster over the weekend, you know, what, 4 and 3 goals respectively. So common themes are that they are giving up really good shots at the wrong time. You know, they're not covering guys within that 20, 25 feet of the net who are going to have a clear shot. I don't know why or what's going on. Maybe some lax defensemen or whatever it might be. But then they're not getting good goaltending either. Sergei Mirashov, I thought, could have stopped a couple of those. And Artur Shelofs was kicking rebounds right to sticks. So, yeah.
And to recap,
a little bit of a loss, too.
And to recap, that's not what you want to do.
No, in fact, no. That is not what the goaltender should do to the other team.
No.
You kick it to your own stick, sure. But, you know, the other team's stick, maybe not so great.
All right, so a potential or likely new third defensive pairing with the new guy from Edmonton, Kulak, and Jack St. Ivany. What might that group, that pairing, bring to this team?
Boy, that's an interesting little pairing. They went defense on that one. Jack St. Ivany, a stay-home defenseman. Brett Kulak, a stay-at-home defenseman. So I suppose, you know, for the first, let's call it 50, 55 minutes, that pairing is, you know, they're not going to be involved much in the offensive play. They might step in here or there. You're not going to see either of those guys take the puck and wheel down the right wing looking for an open man in the slot. Not going to see that. What you are going to see those guys do is take turns clearing the net front. Make sure that Stuart Skinner, who's starting tonight, can see the puck. Then I would suppose in the final 5 minutes, when Dan Muse likes to start mixing and matching his defensive pairs for maximum efficiency or the situation, you've got now two net front clearing guys who can play with Chris Letang and Erik Karlsson rather than letting those two, Karlsson and Letang, play together.
First opportunity to meet the two new guys. What are your thoughts on them and what they could add? And maybe because of their playoff experience, what they might be able to tell guys in the room, not that there aren't the main guys who have been through a lot of playoffs, but just to bring some different voices in there. What do you think the value is, or is there any value of adding Kulak and Skinner to that room?
Well, Kulak seems like just a low-key guy. I don't think he's going to step into any sort of leadership role. However, Stuart Skinner brought some swagger this morning. He was, I mean, what a gregarious guy.
Dude, beard is legit.
Yeah, that too. I don't ever recall a Penguins goalie talking on game day. In fact, the vast majority, if not all goalies, game day, you leave them alone. You don't make eye contact. You walk past like they don't exist. They stay in their head, and that's just the way it is. Skinner holds a 7-plus-minute press conference today. It was pretty extraordinary. And the line that stuck with me came later in, you know, his talk when he's like, you know, I said to Brett, let's go do this. Let's go win this thing. And by win this thing, he meant the Stanley Cup, bringing it here. So it was, you know what? They aren't thinking like, oh, I'm going to rebuilding Pittsburgh. They're thinking I'm going to Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Erik Karlsson, Chris Letang. And these guys have Stanley Cup rings, Karlsson excluded, of course.
We're joined by Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now. So any doubt in your mind that Skinner is the one? The number one goalie, I mean.
Oh, right now. Yeah. Sure, big doubt. I don't know that he is the number one. I would suspect they're going to platoon with Seeloffs until one of those guys separates for the better or worse. That's the way it was until Tristan Jarry began to just make it undeniable that Dan Muse had to play him every night. So I would suspect they go back to that. I think Stuart Skinner needs a little bit of a mental break. The pressure in Edmonton probably can't be overstated. I mean, he's an Edmonton kid. You're playing on your hometown team, maybe the best team in the league. You're in the Stanley Cup final twice, game 7, game 6, and you're one of the goats, you know, one of the culprits or reason people circles why they didn't win the cup. That had to be just an oppressive sort of pressure. So come here. Pittsburgh's a little different than Edmonton in terms of hockey craziness. I mean, we've got our Twitter people, but by and large, you can go to the grocery store and, you know, you can go to the grocery store and not come out, you know, having been told exactly what's wrong with you. So, you know, maybe he can ease into things and then we see.
And Dan, by goat, you mean the lowercase goat, G-O-A-T,
yes.
not the uppercase.
Correct.
We're joined by Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now. How would you describe Tristan Jarry's career?
Oh, my. That is, I suppose if I had to put one word on it, I would call him an underachiever. I think he has the talent to be a strong number one goalie in this league for whatever reason, whether, you know, confidence issues, you know, some technical breakdowns that he had to spend extra time fixing, injuries, you know, the rumors of that chronic injury lingered for a year and a half, and he seemed to kind of confirm that there was a long-term lingering injury not long before he left. But he was healthy this year. You know, he's a new dad, and all of that seemed to change him, at least in my eyes, this year. But if you put him on, you know, put the entire career into the microscope for 8 years, I'd call it underachieving.
Was he more a victim of bad defense, or was the defense a victim of his play?
Yes. I mean, there really were. It was kind of an oscillating sort of thing. There were times a few years ago he was stealing a lot of points for them, and you know the defense wasn't playing well. When he stopped playing well, and the defense, you know, the Penguins' defense last year especially, and a couple of years ago, was one of the worst in the league, quite frankly, certainly one of the worst on the Penguins in the salary cap era. When they were unable to bail out a goalie who was struggling, it deepened the goalie's struggles. So it just became sort of a perfect storm that just revolved, you know, went round and round.
At what point does Sergei Mirishkov get an extended run? Is it this year?
No. I hesitate because there are two variables, Artur Seeloffs and Stuart Skinner. If they're playing well, Mirishkov doesn't get another look this year. But if, you know, if they're stumbling, if Seeloffs doesn't pull it together and begin to show what he showed back in October, then you start looking down at Mirishkov and wondering, you know, if you can figure out a way to have three goalies for a couple of weeks or, you know, or worse, I should say, for Seeloffs.
We're joined by Dan Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now. He's at the arena. It's Pens Oilers coming up at 7:30 on TNT. Did you ever think there would be a day, as we were both, you know, watching Mario Lemieux as kids, that someone would pass his numbers with Sid 2 points away?
You know, it's unfathomable, isn't it? Because
it is.
Mario Lemieux could, I mean, for those of us who were kids back then, that guy could walk across the Allegheny. He just walked on water in a way that so few athletes in any city ever have. And to think Sid's going to do it, it almost seems, however, in this moment that we've been waiting for it because, you know, maybe Sid isn't quite as great as an individual player as Mario was. But in terms of careers and extraordinary performance, what Crosby is doing, I hope that there are a lot of kids who have grown up with Crosby the last 20 years who view him in that very same walk-on-water sort of way because he's earned it.
I think the difference for me between the two is you could watch Mario and think, I could never do that. And while I can never do the things Sid does, you could get down in the greasy area. You could outwork somebody at 6 feet,
yeah,
maybe. Didn't have to be 6'5", and with all the God-given talents, like to me, that's a distinguishing trait between the two. That Sid's almost more like, hey, that's kind of like if I worked like that insanely hard, and obviously has a lot of talent, and I'm not taking anything away from Sid, but I don't know if you have a similar thought process on those two.
Well, absolutely, and I heard some years ago that Sid kind of got mad when he heard that he was the greatest third line player ever.
Oh, jeez.
So, well, no, there was a I won't out my former colleague who used to kind of say that as the most ultimate compliment, because you're right. He is the greatest blue collar player ever. No one's ever worked as hard in the corners and in the dirty zone and around the net and been willing to do the things that he does. I mean, he really is sort of a modern day Gordie Howe. There's no two ways about it. And that's a compliment, but you're right. Nobody has ever been that much bigger, that much faster, with that much more skill and hockey IQ than Mario.
Although probably the closest thing to it you're going to see on the ice in 15 minutes in an Edmonton jersey.
McDavid, yeah. McDavid probably is the closest to Mario. I always was waiting for that drop for McDavid, you know, because Sid used to be able to do, I shouldn't say used to be able to do, but Sid would play sort of that fast individual game in the first few years of his career. I was always kind of expecting McDavid to have to figure out what his second act would be, but he's a wiggle of the skate here, a little turn of the blade there, and he can take off, and it's extraordinary what he can do with the puck on his stick.
Dan, I'll let you get to face off. Thank you so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
All right. Kangurski from Pittsburgh Hockey Now joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. When we come back, we'll get back into the Steelers, and we will talk to Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. Before I do that, though, Joel Nelson is with me tonight. I am the lucky one to have Joel here. You didn't watch. I'm assuming you were too young to have watched Mario play.
Yeah, probably. Wish I could have, but I don't know. It watching Crosby is cool, but I'm sure watching Mario was, you know, like on a different level than watching Crosby.
What do you think of Sid tonight potentially passing Mario for Penguins' all-time point leader?
Very weird to think about. Very, very weird to think about. I wish I would, you know, and it makes me wish I could have been able to watch Mario during his time with the Penguins. But
I don't know how to I'll put it this way, and all the hockey people can hate me for it. I didn't really watch the Penguins until Mario came. Like, I knew they were there. They were a team, and, you know, you follow them because they're the local team. When Mario came, it was like, wait a minute. This is, and it was, 6 years after Miracle on Ice. So, I mean, hockey got that huge bump from that. And you're kind of waiting in Pittsburgh like, man, that'd be nice to have a really good hockey team or a really good player. And then boom. Here comes 66. And he is unbelievable. I mean, just, and Sid's is equally unbelievable. They're just different type of players. But if he could pass him tonight against Tristan Jarry, I mean, it's just a delicious story. I mean, I love the story aspect of tonight. And if you're heading into the game or on your way to the game, stuck in traffic, whatever, we want to get your thoughts after the game at 412-928-9370. So hit us up. We're going to be on until 10:35 until the nightly sports call. And I won't be at the game, so I'll be relying on you guys to tell me what happened. Hopefully we get a crazy record. We get a great crowd. It's an awesome game. And the Pens can hold on, well, that they get a lead, and then they hold on to it in the third. Mike Tomlin had his weekly news conference just hours after the Steelers beat the Dolphins for their first back-to-back wins since early October. So what does Ray Fittipaldo think about this team and what it might be able to do? That's next here on the Fan Evening Show on 93.7 The Fan. Fan Evening Show, Fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.